Well, we'd appreciate your prayers this morning that the Lord would feed our souls. I've been thinking through the week about another spoke in the wheel. We've been studying about for quite some time about the our salvation experience and those things that strongly support it. And, I can't think of anything. These are not necessarily in order of importance because we're probably speaking of about the most important one here. But when we wrote on the board the scriptures, you know, the use of the scriptures in our life is of tremendous value. And the knowledge of the scriptures in our life is of tremendous value. Jesus told his disciples, he said, when the Comforter has come, he's going to bring back to your remembrance all the things that I've told you. And that's what the Lord does. So it's important for us to read the Bible and to know the scriptures. They're a tremendous support. I noticed Sister Julie, before she sang the song this morning, mentioned a scripture. What scripture was that, Sister Jim? And lean, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, the Lord gives us those things, doesn't he? And what a support it is to us when we're wanting to stand and the wind's blowing really hard and the rain's pounding and the problems are on. It's nice for those scriptures to come back to us, isn't it? So this morning, I want us to think about how the scriptures, how valuable they are, and maybe the first part we'll speak a little bit about the value of the scriptures, and then let's study a little about how we apply those scriptures and all of that. So if the Lord will help us, I believe we can be strengthened this morning. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse, Paul tells Timothy here, he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, the scriptures are able to make us understand the way of salvation and lead us to God. You know that when the Lord starts working with those scriptures, doesn't it open our understanding? You remember when the two men were walking along on the road to Emmaus and they were completely downcast. All their hopes were dashed and they didn't seem to have any hope left. They thought that Christ was going to set up a kingdom and all these things, and yet in spite of all that, he was crucified and he was gone. And they were walking along all sad, and the Lord just sidles up to them and begins to talk with them. And by and by, he just opened their mind to all the scriptures and how they testified of him and what they meant. Then he sat down to eat with them, and then he returned thanks and was gone. He just vanished. He was gone from their sight. But you know what they said, and I love this little passage. Did not our hearts burn within us? Amen. Didn't our hearts burn? Wasn't there something that was being revealed to us? That was the Lord speaking to us. And this morning, I hope that we can just open our hearts a little bigger to what the Word wants to do within us. These spokes that we've been talking about, I really believe each one that we've mentioned has a real bearing on our stability, has a real bearing on us being able to be in there for the long haul, and us being able to win, overcome, and bear weight Bear the weight of the work of the Lord. Bear the weight of life. God puts that in a man. And so this morning, I hope we can go there. I hope that we can open our hearts to this. Now he said, the scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God. That's important for us to understand, isn't it? We're not reading a novel. We're not reading a magazine. We're not reading a book that men simply picked up and wrote. But holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. We put our trust in this, don't we? That God brought these words to us, and so we live by them. And so it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The things we teach and believe, it's profitable for that. All the scriptures are profitable to put into that equation the things that we believe and teach. And so, so we stand on that, don't we? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, the Lord just wants us to be, you look that word up in Strong's, you know what it means? Perfect, complete. The man of God might be fully armed, fully completed, ready to face the devil and able to face the devil. And so the Word of God helps us do that, and it's a great support to us. Now, I know that the Word of God is not always, somebody picks it up and they begin to read, and I've been told a number of times, it just doesn't, I mean, this is something common I find with people. It don't relate. Well, I want to tell you something. The Lord wants it to relate. Because it has a lot to do with our longevity as a Christian. And it has a lot to do with us being able to make the long haul and bear the load along the way. And so when we realize the value of scriptures and we realize how critical they are to our welfare, then you know what that begins to do? I have found that some things, the first time I pick it up, is Greek to me because it literally is Greek. But you know what? You can study to show yourself approved. You can study the things of God. You can ask the Lord to open the doors of your understanding in your heart. And you know what? A piece at a time, the Lord wants to do that for us. I believe the Lord can work with us in those ways. I know that some people are not readers. I know that. You know, if you have to listen to it, listen to it. It doesn't do me well to listen to it as much because my mind can't listen that good to things like, but I love to read it. It just, when I read it, it is absorbed. But we're all different, aren't we? So I'm going to encourage us this morning that wherever we are, that we recognize the tremendous value of Scripture and begin to take it into our hearts and lives and minds. That we may not understand everything we read the first time we take it in. But I'll tell you what the Bible says. We just read that it's profitable for doctrine. That's what we base our teachings on, isn't it? It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. And that word reproof, we think of getting after somebody, but it's really more to convince, as Clark says, to convince men of the truth. And when you study the word a little bit, it's more than just, it's not just getting after somebody. And to confound those, to convince men of the truth and to confound those who should deny it. For correction, I really like this definition because when you look that word up, this just spells it out to me perfectly almost. For restoring things, correction. For restoring things to their proper uses and places. Correcting false notions and mistaken views. You know, that's what the scriptures do for us? You know, we are trained and we're taught in our upbringing in so many different settings, aren't we? And we come up with that, and we come into life with that. Whether it's right or not, we come into life with those ideas in our minds. And so what we all are trained so different. But you know what? The scriptures are there to train us God's way. And so all through our life, I believe all through our life, it's still happening for me anyway, I find the Lord correcting me. I find Him teaching, and I find it that way. And so as we look into the scripture, let's look into it with a heart that says, Lord, I recognize You have left Your will. You have left Your manual. You've left Your roadmap here, and I want to understand it. Because I really believe that when we understand more of the will of God, it'll only bless our lives. Now, the devil will say, yeah, you're liable to understand some things that's going to cost you something. I will say this, that's true. But what we receive in place of the cost is so far greater that there's no way to measure the difference. That's what God gives. He gives good things that brings a life to a place of peace, of joy, of happiness, a place where life can be in order. Doesn't mean that everything's just like we like it or want it. But I'll tell you, it will bring our life, no matter what we are in, it will bring our life to a place that's in order before the Lord. That's what God does for folks. And I believe He'll do it for you and me too. So as we look through these, Lord, open our hearts and our minds that we can understand Your ways better. James 1 and 21 says here to 24, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive it with humility. When we get the word either preached to us, taught to us, read it in family worship, read it in our own personal devotions, let's receive it with a meekness that says, Lord, I want all Your word to me. Because otherwise it won't penetrate. The Lord's designed it that way. It's given to those who will meekly accept the words of God in humility, which is able to the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror, looking in the mirror and seeing himself. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know what that means, don't you? He looked in the mirror and he realized, I need to comb up. And he left before he did, and he forgot. And the next time he realized, I've been looking all scraggly. Do you know that's happened to all of us probably? So this morning, let's look in Hebrews 4 and 12. So the Lord is looking for us to be a doer of the word. As we read it, I will tell you, it will never come alive to us if we're only reading it as a book. If we're reading it to prove a point, if we're reading it just to read it, there will only be so much that we can receive from it. But if we're reading it as food to our souls, and we're feeding from the Word of God, and we're asking the Lord, Lord, teach me here. All I want to know is what Your Word says. I want to know what Your will is. I want to know what You think about it. Because I want to put that in my life. And I want You to help me to understand it. And you know, when we come to the Lord like that, I'm pretty persuaded that He really likes to just feed people like that. He really does. And even when you're preaching and things, folks, when the audience or when the group is hungry, you can almost say anything, and it's wonderful. But folks, if there's a resistance to the Word of God, you can't even think straight sometimes. And it's not just that you feel that pressure. It's that it just doesn't work. God doesn't tip the bottle of oil at those times. And so let's not be a hearer only and forget the parts or not read the parts that we don't like. And we read the same chapters over and over that we do like. But let's take some time with the Word and let's read all the way through it. Let's read all the Word. And you'd be surprised. I've been amazed because we did that as a Bible study one time with Ash Street Place up here in town. People that did not believe like we did. But we had a Bible study for 6 years because Brother Hiram had passed on. Well, he hadn't passed on yet, but he came and asked. And he had asked others before he asked me. And finally I said, well, I'll fill in tonight. But I decided in my heart, in my mind, I don't want to take this on me as a saddle. I'm just going to fill in one night. Well, 6 years later was about the end of it. But you know what I found was? All the truth is in those scriptures. You just read through it. Day after week, a few more scriptures, a few more scriptures. And you know what happens? The light pops on again and again. And you don't have to come bringing a specific here. Here's what I think. Read the scriptures. The truth is in them. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. It's quick. That means it's alive. That's what that word means. The word of God is alive, folks. It's not a dead letter. It's not just a book, a magazine. But it is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's talking pretty close here and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I think that just kind of explains it. Everything's open to God, isn't it? All of our thoughts, all of our intentions, the secret desires of our heart are completely open to God. And so he sees all of that. And you know what he said in his word? As we read through his word with an honest heart, that sword will cut, it'll divide down where it needs divided. And it'll hit us where we need hit, won't it? It'll strengthen us where we need strengthened. It'll encourage us where we need encouraged. It'll give us comfort when we're all down and out. You ever been down? I've been really down at times. Really down. You know what I found? I found the Lord picks you up. That's the way it is with God. Folks, I believe he's talking about there a discernment that the Word of God, especially under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, will ferret out those places of the flesh that cause us trouble. You know, it's selfishness and the flesh that causes us trouble. And the Spirit of God will take the Word as we're reading it or as we're listening to it. And he'll use that sword to cut right down in between there where we thought nothing could get. And he'll prick it, won't he? He'll prick us. He'll cut down through there. No, this is selfishness. No, that's not being plain. That's being ugly. God will do that, won't he?
Yes, he will.
And so the Lord wants to work with us. I'm not going to have time to turn to all the scriptures. I'm just going to mention a bunch of them. But I know there's so many scriptures in the Bible about this subject, but we're not going to try to go all there. We want to touch the places that will touch our hearts. You know, the scripture says the sword, take the helmet of salvation. This is Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit of God? It's the Word of God, isn't it? The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to cut where it needs cut. You know, to some, the scriptures tell us that to some, it is a real blessing. And to others, it is a real cursing, isn't it? That same word that sets one free condemns another to eternal damnation. Did you know that? When the Lord told us, there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. Do you know what that says? That condemns us to eternal condemnation, damnation, if we don't believe on that name. And you know what it does if we do? It gives us eternal life forever and ever. And so the word is used as the sword of the Spirit of God this morning. In Jeremiah 23 and 29, it says, "Is not my word as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" You know, I don't know how many of you have ever been around breaking up rock. But rock don't always break on the first hit. But I'm not sure what all happens down in there. But you hit the same place enough times, and you know what happens? You just hit it with a sledgehammer. Hit that piece of concrete that you're trying to break off. Just keep hitting it. You know what will happen? Some way something starts happening down in there, because one more hit and it's gone, isn't it? And Jesus, and the Lord said here, he said, "Is not my word as a fire and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" That's the way my word does. It'll come, and we deflect it sometimes. That's for so-and-so. I'm thinking about so-and-so. And the Lord brings it again. And it hits us again, doesn't it? And then it hits us again and again. And we start, there becomes a little crack there where you can't really see it. And after a while, it does its job, doesn't it? To an honest soul, it does its job. We don't always get the message the first time through, I don't believe. Romans 15 and 4. We're told, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Did you know the Scriptures give us hope? They don't just work us over. They don't just correct us and just all of... You know what? They give us hope, don't they? Because life is pretty dark sometimes. I've been amazed at how dark life can be. Life can be hard sometimes. Things can be tougher than we realize as a child. They can be. But I want to tell you what gives us hope. The Word of God living within our heart and our soul. I believe that this morning. Remember the Scriptures in John, the 6th chapter, 53rd verse, where Jesus said, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Do you know that really offended a lot of people? It really offended them that Jesus said this, because they knew we don't eat flesh. We don't eat people. We don't do those kind of things. What's he up there saying that for? And they went away. Most of them went away. I believe it was at this place, wasn't it? You know what? And then some of them got up closer to Jesus and said, "What do you mean by this?" You know what, folks? Sometimes we have to get a little closer and say, "What do you mean, Lord? Because that don't make sense to me." And then he told them what it meant. He said in 63rd verse, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." I'm not talking about the flesh. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Eat those words. Take those words down in your heart. Let them direct your life. Let them strengthen you. Let them rebuke the devil. Jesus knew what he was talking about. You know what? Before he began his ministry, He was out there for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted of Satan. And he understood what it meant for to have strong temptation. You ever had strong temptation? Yes, you have. Of course you have. I will tell you something. Jesus found that when Satan came to him at the weakest place he could possibly be, you know what he told him? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written." And he quoted scripture to him, didn't he? That's what the Lord did. And so this morning, let's recognize, folks, we have a wealth in the scripture. We have a wealth. And the Lord help us to just open our arms and take in those good things. Eat those things. Eat those things that the Lord has given. That means take them into our life and into our heart. In 1 Timothy 4 and 11, he says, "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth." Timothy, you're young, but don't shut up because you're young. "But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Be an example of a godly Christian man. "Till I come." Now those things are personal, aren't they? And then he goes on to speak of some that are public and personal maybe. But he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Timothy, this is your place. You not only be a good example, but be diligent about reading. What was he supposed to read? I'm supposing a whole lot of it was the scriptures, wasn't it? The scripture, they didn't have all this New Testament. They had the old at that time. But they were dealing much with people that were, "Is this the Christ?" They were telling the world about someone they didn't know anything about. And it was important for them to know the scriptures. They were going to meet up with Jewish doctors of the law that would bring a real rebuttal to what they said if they didn't know the scriptures. You know, this morning, it's a real it's a real asset to us to know the scriptures. Have you ever read the whole New Testament? I want to encourage us this morning to read the scriptures. I've been reading through the whole Bible. I've been reading through, I'm not quite all the way through the Old Testament part, but you know, the Lord has so much in there, and you recognize so much about the mind of God as you're reading through the scriptures. It just opens your mind to the mind of God. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Do you know this morning, when we begin to eat the Word of God, and we begin to use it, and let it make us grow, our profiting appears to everyone. Is that true? Sure it is. You don't have to answer me. Sure it is. And so he told Timothy here, he said, "You meditate on these things, and give yourself wholly to them." The word meditate really just simply means to revolve in the mind. It means to take it and to chew it, in other words. To let it go over in our mind. Think about it. Now, if we are in the mode, and I'm not criticizing, but if we're in the mode of just slapping out a couple chapters in the morning and we're on our way, I would rather take a few verses sometimes. It's okay sometimes to read a bunch of chapters, but I'll tell you, let's make sure that we assimilate it into our system. Let's take time as we read to stop and do what this says, to roll it around in our mind. What's he mean here? Okay, how does this tie in with other scriptures? And begin to look up scripture references. Look up other scriptures that have to do with that. I recommend reading a little bit in the commentaries, and not all of them are always right. But you know what? To me, and let that begin to come alive. It's just a wonderful support to our Christian experience this morning. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Timothy, you're a minister. This isn't only for ministers to meditate on the word, though, is it? This isn't the only place it says to do that. But that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, the things the scriptures teach. Take heed. Watch what it says. Read the scriptures with understanding and let the Lord explain things to you. You're not going to always understand everything. I'm still understanding things myself that I wished I'd understood 30 years ago. But you know what? It keeps coming more and more alive, and our understanding keeps developing, doesn't it? And so he says, you take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, I've been challenged before, plainly challenged, about doctrine. Doctrine, you know, we're talking about faith. Folks, that is a misunderstanding of the most grave importance. If we just believe, we don't need to understand doctrine or what the scriptures teach and what God's requiring in our lives and what he's looking for as a Christian person. And so he says here, you take heed to those things. Take heed to the doctrine. And I want to encourage us to study the scriptures. Take time to do more. And I'm not coming down on reading at all. It's a wonderful part. Read the scriptures, but also take time to meditate on them, to study them. What does it mean? Open our minds, not just to what our minds roll in. This is the thing that I like, and I always go to that. No, study all the scriptures. Take some time in your experience. I'm just throwing this out there. I believe this is healthy stuff. Go and read some, and then think about what it says. You might be surprised. Instead of one half of a minute on three verses, and then you forget what it says, you may get divine revelations from that, and it's interweaving with other scriptures that stay with you the rest of your life. It may be things that settle your feet that you've always wondered about. It happens that way. At least that's what I found. And he says, you continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So these things are good, Timothy, not only for you, but for the ones you preach to. So this morning, and we're all aware, we've heard so many times, Psalms, the first chapter, where it talks about blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, I know we go to work, and many of us have jobs or whatever that absorb our mind. And that happens. But you know what? The Lord wants us to... Let me rephrase that. It would be in our benefit to, as much as possible, allow the scriptures to revolve in our mind and think about what they mean and make studies out of it and ask others and sit down and study with someone else. And you'd be surprised how interesting it is. The Word of God can come alive until you never knew it could be so alive. The words that seem mundane sometimes can come alive to us, and then we realize, hey, the Lord was actually saying something there that really means something to me and to others. So the thing about the man that he meditates in the Word day and night is that it says he'll be like a tree. Not just any tree. He'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, where there's plenty to grow by. And it grows up and it bears fruit and it always has enough and it always is there. He'll be that way. So this morning, I hope we can be challenged. See the value in our life. Assimilate those things into our lives. And it's not always easy to understand. And it's not always that you sit down and you're just thrilled. At least not for me. It's not always that way. But be consistent in it. Study the Bible when you feel good and when you don't. And you'll find that you'll be fed from the Word. And many times it will be amazing. 1 Peter 2 and 1 and 2 tells us, again he says first, wherefore laying aside all these other things, malice, all guile, hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. You got to lay that stuff aside because it don't mix with the Word. And then he says, as newborn babes. I don't take it necessarily that he says you are newborn babes. Maybe they were here. I think he was talking more than that. Like a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Just desire. You ever seen a baby want to be fed? There's nothing going to stop them, is there? They're hungry and they're going to cry and they're going to scream until they get it. Well, we don't cry and scream like that. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. I want to bring another little idea into our minds. You know, I know that the Word of God, that we're not all intellectuals, okay? But do you know that everybody in here, almost everybody, by the time they were 5 years old, had really understood a lot about one of the hardest languages in the world? Little tiny children, by the time they were five, some of them earlier, some of them maybe a little later. But do you know that it's kind of what you put your head to, isn't it? And your heart to. And I'd be surprised if the Lord didn't start opening some things up by and by, if we'll allow that and realize the value of those things. And realize, too, that addition comes before multiplication, doesn't it? It has to be that way. You just can't understand some things until you understand others that are more elementary. And so the Lord works with us that way, too, and He begins to open our understanding of things. Study the Scriptures. And after multiplication, you can maybe start some algebra after a while. But you're not going to understand algebra till you get those things down pat. And then start working and understanding more things. I believe God's ways, God is amazing. And at our best, we'll never understand 1% of God. But we can understand a lot, can't we? Thank the Lord. That might be saying more than some might want to hear. I just believe God's so much bigger than we can take it. We're going to have a glorified body even to stand in His presence this morning. In Acts 17 and 10, and I'm going to try to wrap this up here in a bit. It says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither and went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. I don't know about you, but rather than just cast off what others may say that are spiritual people, I believe it would do us well to search the Scriptures. Ask the Lord. Lord, my prejudices tell me one thing. These dear ones that I know You say another. And I want you to help me to know your ways and work out those things. Ask the Lord to reveal to you those things that he's revealed to others. You might be surprised what he might tell you. The psalmist 119 and 97 got a hold of something and said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." So this morning, the Lord help us today. Peter tells us to add to our faith some things, doesn't he? He tells us to add virtue, and he tells us to add knowledge. I can't help but believe part of that knowledge is the knowledge of the Scriptures. And so let's add those things. And then in verse 10, if you look down in 2 Peter 1, he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Wow, I've always loved that scripture. That means I have hope. That means I have hope that if I will walk with the Lord, he'll keep me from falling. Is that possible? According to the scripture, it is. And it is possible, isn't it? I want to read another place, and I'm going to tell you, this is special. I don't know altogether why it's special to me, but it is. In Acts 18 and 24, you picture Paul traveling around, visiting peoples and congregations and building up congregations from nothing and preaching to people the truths. And then picture this scenario, what happened here in Acts 18 and 24. "And a certain Jew," well, I'll start with the verse before. "And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus." Can you imagine the delight that Paul had going around and trying to convince people to, you know, that were wanting to stone him sometimes and all of those things? And here's a man that's just got all the gusto in the world. He's all excited. He's up preaching and teaching, and he didn't even know that Jesus had been crucified. He only knew that John said he was coming, and he knew the baptism of John. And so listen to what it says. And the thing that amazes me is, you know what? This man, the Lord just weaved, the Lord put him together. And you find him then in 10 places in the scriptures. Now, I know 7 of those are in 1 Corinthians, but we find him in Titus. We find him working and Paul mentioning him. And he said, some say, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, some say they're of Paul and some of Apollos. You know what? This man God had got a hold of. You know what? We're not trying to be the most eloquent or the most whatever, are we? But I'll tell you what, we can be mighty in the scriptures. And then if God wants to use us, however he wants to use us, he can, can't he? And should we withdraw from that and say no? Folks, listen. The Lord wants there to be that hunger and thirst that this man had. And you read about him, what little is said of him, you find him a real influence in the work of God after that. He was just a man that God was working in and through. And so, listen to this. "A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." Now, what was he so excited about? I want to tell you, that man got a hold of what truth he had, didn't he? There's a lot more he didn't know anything about. But he got a hold of what he had. And it says he was fervent in the Spirit. Is there anything wrong with that? And so this morning, I want to encourage us, maybe the Lord would just strike that fire in our heart. Maybe the Lord will strike it in your heart. Maybe the Lord will make you mighty in the Scriptures. Not for the purpose of showing it off. But folks, this man had a fervency and a burning in his heart that he loved the work of God. And he loved what God was doing. And it says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard them, who was Aquila and Priscilla? A man and his wife. They took him unto them, a man and his wife, and the wife began to help instruct him in the ways of God. Isn't that beautiful this morning? Can the Lord use men and women? Of course he can this morning. And they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Folks, can we be aflame with the truth of God's Word? Lord, strike a match in our hearts. Cause our hearts to be aflame. Cause our hearts to be mighty in the Scriptures. Cause us to see the value of the Scriptures in all the spectrum of the Scriptures, from the nice comfort that the Lord gives, the Spirit of the Lord gives through Scripture many times. It's the sword that the Spirit uses. We come along and we need comfort. We lose loved ones and we need comfort. And the Lord, Spirit of the Lord comes along and inspires a Scripture to us, doesn't he? I'll be with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. And you know what? That just becomes our Scripture. The Lord gave that to me. Oh, this morning, I believe God wants us to be ready always, as Peter said, to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Have something in there that the Spirit of the Lord can call upon when we need it. You know, we live in a world that is completely chocked full. I'm convinced of this. I have met with many people outside these walls, and I will tell you something, folks, the world is completely full of false beliefs about the Bible. I'm talking about the Christian world. This Word of God, when we read it, we take it. We understand it. We don't just take what everybody says, but we actually begin to eat it and live by it. Live by it. Listen to people that are living godly lives. Folks, living in touch with the Lord. Those are worth listening to this morning. But every word that we hear from everywhere is not always going to bless us. When they tell you, And I've heard people quote it as if the Scripture said that, you know, we sin more or less every day. Folks, the Scripture says everything but that. Doesn't it? Read the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. It is very, very plain. And yet the whole world is sold on that as if it is Scripture. Read the Scriptures and get them down in your heart. Understand what 1 John is talking about. We read 1 John, the first chapter, and it goes down there toward the 10th verse, and you see where people use that as if, well, you're a liar if you claim to not be sinning all the time. Understand what that means. You know that has a meaning, because the same writer in a couple of chapters over said, he that sinneth is of the devil. So we kind of have to understand those things. Well, there are God wants to reveal those things to us so that we can go out with a sword that is sharp and divide between truth and error in love. Not cutting, not destroying, but rather building. Rather cutting out those things that destroy people's lives. Folks, sin destroys lives. And the Lord wants us to have an understanding about those things. The song number 121 says, Obedience by D.S. Warner. By thy blessed word, obeying, Lord, we prove our love sincere. For we hear thee gently saying, love will do as well as hear. The refrain says, dear Redeemer, we would hallow. We would take all your words and revere those words. We would hallow all thy words so firm and true. In thy footsteps meekly follow. Thy commands we love to do. And then it goes on. You can read it sometime, Psalm number 121. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You know it matters, doesn't it? All through the Bible. Oh, the Lord help us. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Those are words that the Lord said. And then Paul writes and says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Oh, let's think a little more like Apollos. And not think of it as, well, I need to sit down and I need to take some time here. Folks, I think Apollos was doing more than that. The Lord help us to be Apollos in our life, in our devotions. You pray for me. Thank you.